Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? There we go. Showtime, baby. Letting it go too long, man. They gonna sue me. What's going on, people? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp. Oh, excuse me. February. This is what happens when you rush home, yo. Rush home from track practice. 8 shows starting. And man, I got the burps. Well, welcome to the off ramp, a show for the people by the people that embodies the people. February 3rd, 2022. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good health, good spirits. You got good energy around you. Hope you're feeling good. Hope your family's good. Hope your loved one's good. Hope even the ones that you don't love are good. Because you just never know, man. Good energy all around. Positive vibes. Positive vibes. It's been a tough couple of years for a lot of people. So nothing but positive vibes around. I hope all of you are doing well, even if you don't wish me the same. Again, welcome to the off-ramp, a show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in these streets where I'm at, where you're at. We talk politics, talk sports, we joke, we laugh, some people cry, we talk relationships, all that good stuff, man. Nothing's off limits. We use nicknames to protect the innocent. Don't want anybody getting fired out here from their jobs. You know, it's a lot of sensitive people out here. We joke around a lot. Most of us don't mean any harm. So, you know, just one of those things where, you know, things are kind of safe. So wherever you're at, you're in good spirits. I said that. If you want to call in 929-477-3975, you can check us out on the social medias. We got our own website up. I mean, we got it on Twitch. I think our episode last week's up on YouTube. I got to check with my baby sister. I don't think I ever sent it to her. Maybe not. But I think we have a Twitch page now. We got a Facebook page. We got an Instagram page. I got to get better at using that shit. So I'm not a big fan of social media. It's not that I'm not a big fan. I just don't utilize it like most people do. I kind of just like, you know, just like rapping to the people, man. I like having good conversations. Got a lot of good topics. A lot of stuff we didn't get to last week, man. A fucking volcano blew up like 2 weeks ago. We still haven't talked about it. A lot of good sports happened. Super Bowl coming up. So we'll get to all of it. You know, we'll see what's going on. So let me introduce the panel. They're not really a panel. These are my folks, man. So, MX Your Money, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
All is well. You know, I do want to correct you just because I'm a prick. It's my folks and I, you know, it's not you and us, you know what I mean? Just point of clarification on there. But everything's all as well, though. All as well, man. You know, it's a ice storm going down in Memphis, man. So hope everybody over there is talking about out of power and stuff, man. It's crazy. Hope all is well down there, folks dealing with that ice storm, man. It's great.
All right. And I just want to correct you, too. It's not over there. It's over there. But welcome. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Thanks for having me on, man. Blessed and highly favored. I want to correct something, too. Fuck it. I'm on the panel, man. I don't know about people, man. I'm a panelist. Fuck that.
Right.
I'm on the panel. In fact, change my nickname. I'm now chairman of the board. That's what I am. I want to be known as Mr. Chairman. going forward. That's me now.
You want me to change your name to Chairman?
Mr. Chairman. Address me as Mr. Chairman going forward.
Is anybody going to address Blur as Mr. Chairman going forward?
I ain't going to be able to do it.
In Black History Month, that's how we're going to do it. All right. Okay. I see what's going on here. I see exactly what's going on here. All right. No, we don't even have to have a YouTube. I know I'm the darkest person. I'm the darkest member of the panel. And that's how I'm getting treated. Okay. I'm watching Malcolm X doc right now, man. You know what? He ain't died for this. Malcolm X did not die for me to be treated this way.
I was with you in terms of not being referred to as people. You know what I mean? Because we should be more than that. You know what I mean? Or folks. But I ain't going to be able to do it, though. I ain't going to be able to call you Chairman.
Y'all and y'all semantics, man. Y'all and y'all semantics. I got my folks, my man, my people, New York, New York, in the building. New York, New York, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I can't complain. You know what I mean? It was a little rainy, gloomy day or whatever, but, you know what I mean, we still above that. You heard. It's another great Thursday in the books. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. All that. You know what I mean? It's Black History Month. With Queen Latifah say? UNITY? Yeah. Shout out to Queen Latifah. You heard?
We have the lovely Queen joining us as well. Queen, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, young lady?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I think by the energy I'm getting from M Extra, Blur, and New York, New York, it seems like all these fools are doing all right. And I'm glad. It looks like it's going to be a good show tonight. It's going to be a good show.
Yo, Queen, don't let him disrespect you, man. Don't let him call you young lady. Ma'am, miss, I mean, yo, he don't know you like that. Young lady, rude.
I'm a woman. I'm not a young lady. I'm older than you think.
That's right, correct him. Don't let him call you. Oh, there you go. That's a woman, gun. A woman. A grown woman.
Yeah. All right, well, welcome to the show, old woman. I'm still glad to have you. Oh, man. Y'all feeling real good tonight. I like it. I don't think she caught it, but I'm going to let it go. I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, man. All right, man. Let's get right to it, man. Last we talked, we got two 49ers fans on the line. They were riding high. They were feeling good. And it all came to a screeching halt last weekend. How y'all feeling? Blur, M Extra Money, or Chairman of the Board? How y'all feeling on the devastating loss last week?
I mean, I'll go first. For me, I think that was the reason why I did not want to face the Rams. And I just thought that, you know, 6-0, it was just, you know, how many times can you beat a team without them getting a one shot, right? Everybody wants to blame or wants to put it on Jimmy, but I really think that the coaching failed, honestly. You know, if you look at the last two offensive series, we out here calling timeouts, or we didn't even call a timeout. We had three timeouts. We out here not getting lined up. Debo ain't even on the field. And why we ain't call a timeout to make sure we get our right personnel on the field when we had critical downs that could potentially steal a game. You know, typically you'll call a timeout and make sure that you got the right personnel, especially on third down. We get the ball snapped late. Nobody was ready. Like, that don't happen when you got three timeouts. And I can't blame the folks on the field for that one. I got to blame the coaching to basically look at that and see that we don't have it, call a quick timeout so we can make sure that we're in the right play, right formation, right setup, got the right play call. That was critical. The drop pick was critical. overall, I think that we weren't supposed to be there anyway, so I can't be too mad. I think that we had enough talent to be in the Super Bowl, so that's promising going forward. I don't know what our future holds. That's what I'm more uneasy about, only because now I don't know if we will really get the value from Jimmy G, even if they wanted to try to move him. But I still think that we could get maybe a second round or a third round pick for him if, you know what I mean, the right suitor comes along. But I'm not totally sold on Trey Lance, so I really think that we should just keep him, address our secondary, and make sure that we bring back a stronger team holistically on defense, because I don't think we have a problem on offense, really. Because I think Shanahan gets tight in the butt when he gets the game critical on the line when he's playing with the lead. I just don't think he knows how to coach with a lead. And I've been saying this since the beginning. I mean, he showed it in Atlanta in the Super Bowl. He showed it when we went in the Super Bowl. The man don't know how to coach with a lead. I was talking about that with B. Weezy when he was over here. I was like, yo, we got a lead. He was like, yo, y'all got a lead. I'm like, he don't know how to coach with a lead. He shuts off half his playbook. He starts doing dumbass stuff. And then he gives the other team too many opportunities with the possession because he just shuts down the playbook as opposed to playing like he's from behind. And that's what happened in the Super Bowl. That's shown over through the course of the season. And it's shown in the playoffs last week. So, honestly, if I had to make some changes, I would tighten up our defense and I would get a new I would relieve Shanahan from calling the plays because he just can't get it done in big spots. And it's proven. We have film, we have games, we have blown Super Bowls in two organizations that has shown that he is just too smart for his own good, and you need somebody else with a fresh look that's going to be able to have that more aggressive type of play calling that he cannot seem to get past. So that's my insight.
Okay. Blur, Mr. Chairman of the board.
Just Mr. Chairman. I'm going to thank you. I think I agree with M. Actually on a lot of that. I don't want to put it all on coaching, though, because we had plenty of opportunities with the play that were called on the field, with the personnel that were on the field, to put the game away. What's their name? Jaquiski? I think it's Jaquiski. The safety. Taft, whatever his name is. He catches that interception. He looked away at the very last second and dropped the interception. He catches that interception, game over. That's it. Jimmy G did have some opportunities to seal the game away. He did. He tried to get the game away a number of times. I'm not even talking about the last interception because I think it was dead and done at that point. And then our offensive line, man, that front four from L.A. was giving us trouble the entire game, especially in the second half. Like, we never found an answer for that. And I think that's probably on coaching, but we had plenty of opportunities to win that game, to walk out of there with a W, and we just didn't capitalize. So I do think we should keep Jimmy G just because, I don't know, I mean, we got to see Trey Lance. I don't think you just – because the window may be closing, but I think the window to make it to the Super Bowl is still open, and I don't think you just put it all on Trey Lance now without seeing him, really seeing him. Because apparently Brady ain't filed no retirement paperwork yet. So I think if you got a chance to take Brady or even Aaron Rodgers for a year or two, you pull the trigger on that. Ideally, though, I hope, because I heard Saquon Barkley is on the trading block. I think you need to get a running back. I think that alleviates a lot of the coaching problems when you got a lead, if you actually have a running game. And I think his offense is set up to have a running game. If you have a true number one running back that you can give it to pick up 4 yards a clip, I think that alleviates any of the tightening up of the playbook at the end of the game.
Okay. All right, well, that's enough 49ers coverage. Tough loss, fellas. Been there.
On to the offseason.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Like, on to the offseason. We don't need to talk Super Bowl. Ain't nobody.
Well, I do want to talk about the. I do want to just ask real quick how y'all felt about the Kansas City Cincinnati game. New York, did you watch any football this weekend, man? Or you stay tapped out?
Nah. I definitely watched it because I was rooting for the 49ers. I'm mad because I had a bill posted on the 49ers on the shit. I had a bill on the 49ers and they lost it in the last 3 minutes. Like, that shit pissed me off. I ain't even gonna hold you. That shit pissed me off. I thought they was gonna go for it, but I mean. What else? It was two games that they lost. It was two games. It's not even the 49ers. What was the other game? They won by a couple of points. Like, what was it, a field goal or some shit like that?
Yeah, Cincinnati, Kansas City.
Yeah, this shit pissed me off. It didn't happen like I wanted it to happen. I was like, literally, the 49ers, I was like, all right, cool. They was taking the game by a lead. I think the Rams. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Rams scored or whatever, but the 49ers took it the whole way. But then they let the Rams, you know what I mean, come back on them niggas.
Okay.
That shit pissed me off. I ain't even gonna hold you. Yeah, that shit pissed me off. I'm never betting on no football game ever again in my life. Cause God, no.
You should have called me. I'd have told you not to put any money on that game. You should have called. Next time, call me before you bet. I'm not allowed to bet anymore.
But they were doing so good. They were doing so good until the field goal happened. Oh, bro.
Yeah, look.
I was so happy. I was talking my shit.
He was feeling good. Look, I ain't mad at you. I can understand it. I thought the 49ers were going to get a chance to pull off, but I mean, honestly didn't. I was rooting for the 49ers just because of Blur and M Extra and a couple of my other boys, but, you know, and my brother-in-law. But I didn't think they were going to win just because of what M Extra said. Like, it's a numbers game, you know. You had their number six times. You got to play them for the third time in one season. It just doesn't ever really work in your favor. So, like, I wouldn't have bet on that game. But, you know, it wasn't a bad bet. I mean, the 49ers had the better talent as far as across the board and just a better team. But, you know, and the Rams tried to give the game away, which is interesting. But, you know, what can you do, man? That's why, look, when it gets to the postseason, unless you see a glaring hole, like I was telling my boys, the Rams versus Tampa Bay, bet the house on the Rams just because Tampa Bay's O-line was beat up. The Rams had a good D. And it looked like it was the smartest bet ever in the first half. But in the second half, the Rams tried to blow that one too. So, you know, when it gets to the postseason, man, don't bet on the NFL. It's too up in the air. Queen, do you watch any football or are you chilling?
I'm chilling. I really don't watch football. I'm more kind of a little bit into basketball, but I haven't really been keeping up this year.
Okay. So, Max, what did you think about the Kansas City Bengals game?
You know, I had a feeling. I was rooting for the Bengals anyway because I thought it was going to be an 88-89 Super Bowl rematch. I just thought that Kansas City, I didn't think that it was going to be a shootout, although it turned into be one. So, but I thought that Kansas City, I mean, the Bengals would do a good job kind of controlling Patrick Mahomes' opportunity. That really did work out, but they did make the plays when they needed to make the plays to turn them over. I felt like it was an off game for Patrick Mahomes, and nobody's really going to talk about it because, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes and they just – not do that, but he honestly did not play a great game to me, and I don't think that was really talked about. So just to like how people didn't really talk about Aaron Rodgers not having a great game, it was more or less like special teams, but didn't really highlight the fact that Aaron Rodgers really didn't play a great game. I don't think Patrick Mahomes played a great game to be like in a Super Bowl, and I thought that, you know, the Bengals did enough to win. So happy for the Bengals fans. It's been 30 years. I mean, you know, you want to see other teams get a chance to, you know, keep that parity going in the NFL. So, I mean, I think, and if you just my only comment that's going to be for the Super Bowl, I honestly think that the Rams are going to blow them out. That's what.
I think
the Super Bowl for the Rams was last week, and I think they won't recover. And so I really think they're going to go in there too cocky, and they're going to get blown out.
Oh, you think the Rams are going to get blown out? I thought you said the Rams were going to blow the Bengals out.
No, I think the Rams are going to get. I think the Rams are going to get blown out.
Okay. Chairman of the board.
Mr. Chairman, is enough. Thank you. I have to disagree with him actually just a little bit because I've heard plenty of people call out Patrick Mahomes for his off game. I mean, I've been seeing it a lot actually. People saying like, "Yo, this is strictly on Patrick Mahomes. He didn't have it," and you could tell he lost it that final drive where he did off track of the timeouts. He threw to Tyreek behind them, didn't get in the end zone, and they walked out without getting any points. And it was downhill from there. Now, it could be the defense was getting to him, but he just didn't have it. I mean, one of the interceptions wasn't his fault because they hit Tyreek Hill right in the hands, but still throwing it in the double coverage, just reverting back to what he did in the beginning of the season where it was just like, oh, Tyreek down there somewhere, let's just throw it up to him instead of just taking what the defense gave him. Which is kind of what he kind of grew into when they was getting their stuff together. And the whole, that last drive of the first half and the entire second half, he went back to, oh, it's the wing and the prayer, my arm strong enough, Tyreek fast enough, we'll just keep airing it out and trying to get whatever we can over the top instead of taking what the defense gave him. I mean, that said, I mean, Joe Burrow is the real deal. I mean, he brought him back. I really thought, like, even without the Chiefs performing on offense the way they did, I didn't think that the Bengals had enough firepower to work their way back into the game, and they did. That performance right there is the reason I don't think that the Rams are going to sleep on them. Well, first of all, I think the Rams got stuff to prove. I think OBJ got something to prove. I think Matt Stafford got something to prove. I think the coach got something to prove, so... I don't think they're going to sleep on the Bengals. I think they saw what they did to Kansas City, and they're going to go in there ready, prepare for them. I think the Rams' defense is going to be too much for the Bengals. I think the Rams pull it out with, like, yeah, somewhere between a 4 to 10-point win.
See, this is where it's tough for me because this is one of those games where I don't know who to root for. I'm an LSU fan. I really like Burrow. I like Chase. I like Odell.
OBJ went to LSU too?
Kind of hope what'd you say?
That OBJ went to LSU too?
Yeah. And, I like Aaron Donald. You know, I hope he gets one. So I don't know who to root for, so it'll be interesting. But my take on the Kansas City Bengals game, though, is I've seen this before. I don't blame Patrick, I kind of blame a little bit on Patrick because they was rushing 3, driving 8. Yo, just throw the under. Oh, this was to me on Andy Reid. This is old Eagles frustration. Run the fucking ball. Like, run the ball. And I didn't see the first half. I just saw the second half. But you got to run the ball. And if you're not going to run the ball when they're only rushing 3, then you're putting your team – if you're trying to force the ball down the field when they're dropping 8 in coverage, you're putting your quarterback in a terrible spot. If you don't have enough faith to run the ball when only 3 people are rushing the quarterback, then you're just being a bad coach. So I blame this one on Andy. But I hope the Super Bowl is going to be interesting. I'm with Blur. That kid Joe Burrow, man, he an old dude, though. Like, we forget that he's, I think he's, what, 24, 25? Because he spent those couple of years at Ohio State. I know he on that rookie deal, but he an old dude, man. He ain't fazed by much, so it'll be interesting. But it's going to be tough to beat L.A. at home. I guess L.A.'s not even really a home.
25.
A home
it's not
game.
Their home yet, man. It's not their home yet. Not yet. I mean, it will be compared to Kansas City, but it's not the Rams' home just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was more, I know when I was watching the end of the 49ers-Rams game, it seemed like, you know, Matthew Stafford couldn't hear because there were so many 49ers fans in that stadium. I don't know if that's just because it's close proximity to L.A., but, I mean, it's still like a five-hour trip. You would think that. I don't know. I just hope it's a good
Super Bowl. I mean,
but
I guess the only comment to what you just said, Beach Bum, is that it's the Super Bowl, right? So I don't know if you saw Chad Ocho Johnson's tweet. Like, you see them prices? Ain't nobody in L.A. playing that shit for a Rams fan. That ain't for fans. That shit ain't for fans. So, like, it's going to be loud just because. But it ain't going to be no home game. Like, there's going to be diehard Rams fans at that daggone game. Likewise, Bengals fans. It might be more Bengals fans because they haven't been there in 30 damn years. And they'll play them ridiculous prices. But I seriously doubt that with those prices that they charge for seats, that there's going to be that many Rams fans there that be out here giving them a home field advantage. So they might get the pomp and circumstance by being in L.A. and being able to party and stuff in L.A., and they don't have to travel, really. But in terms of the game, though, I seriously doubt paying those fans are going to get that piece and ticker hold of Rams fan paying over $10,000 to go to the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, I didn't see the tweet. How much are the tickets?
They were going. There was like $12,000. Like the nosebleed seats were $8,000.
Oh my god!
I don't even know if I saw $8,000 one. I think the cheapest one I saw might have been like 10 something, like just over 10.
Yeah, and he was like, and basically his tweet was just saying, "How do you expect fans, real fans, to go here, right? Because of the ridiculous prices."
Oh, okay.
Well, real fans maybe have been saving up. Like, it's a movie and entertainment podcast dude. He does a daily podcast every day, and he said him and his wife were looking at Super Bowl tickets because he lives in L.A. Right before the Kansas City and Cincinnati game started or whatever. So the ticket prices were $3,000. He said him and his wife thought about getting tickets. After the game, immediately after the game was over, those same ticket they were looking at jumped up to
$10,000.
So I'm pretty sure some people already got tickets. I'm sure some people, like, there's probably people you hear about every year. They save up, and this is like thing they plan for years in advance, and it's a yearly trip that people take. But I think most of it's not for the regular people. This is for people who are going to invoice this, who are going to put this on a spreadsheet, and the bill is going to get passed on to their customers.
Yeah, the entertainment budget, the tax write-off. Hey, if you had – see, I was having this discussion. Well, I guess, Queen, New York, feel free to jump in if y'all got any Kansas City Bengals talk or Super Bowl talk. Well, I guess I'll ask you that, Queen in New York. If y'all were rich, would you – and y'all not even big football fans, would you pay to go to the Super Bowl? Like, would you pay $10,000 if you had it to go to the Super Bowl? That's the Queen of New York.
Look, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'll look. I'm doing a hookah like I'm a Dominican. Like, literally, you guys, hold on. you guys, what is the question again?
If you had $10,000 for a ticket, would you go to the Super Bowl? Like, if you had enough money just to spend $10,000 on a Super Bowl ticket, would you go? Well, and listen, I'll just frame this the way I was having this discussion with DJ C. Sire, who's in the building. If I was rich, I wouldn't go to the Super Bowl. Like, I would want all my friends to come over my rich house and just party with us. Like, I wouldn't want to go to the Super Bowl and be stuck in a stadium with a whole bunch of people. I'd rather be partying at my mansion with my pool and all the other rich stuff. Like, but I guess, I mean, I'm probably in the minority there. DJ C. Sign, if you had the money to go to the Super Bowl, would you go?
Yeah.
So you like events. You like being around a bunch of people, even though you don't talk, even though you're antisocial. It's so weird. Why do you like events and concerts like stuff? and stuff like that. And you don't like being around people.
I don't like being around people.
You just don't like talking to them?
I just don't like being around people all the time. It's when I want to be around. But, I mean, I
like football too, but I'm not paying $10,000.
If you have the money.
If I had the money, that means I'm rich enough that I'd rather have a party at the house. I'll throw a dope party at my house than go to the Super Bowl.
No. I mean, it's a good environment.
Yeah.
Even if you have the money, it's a good environment. It's like,
how do you know it's a good environment? You ain't never been.
Because we've been to lower.
Why do you think you would throw a doper party at your house than you could throw a party in L.A. at the Super Bowl? Like, you get you a suite at the Super Bowl. You could have parties out there in L.A. with celebrities and people and have the same people who be at your house just have that same party in L.A.
No, I can't pay for 50 people to go to the Super Bowl.
If you're rich, you
but
can.
But before we even get into that, y'all, you know what I mean, shout out to my moms, whatever, y'all, you know what I mean, we had tickets in the nosebleeds watching I don't even know what they call no more. It's not even a Redskins. I'm not even gonna call them. I'm not even gonna call them the what's it called? The Commodores, the Commanders, whatever they called or whatever. We had tickets with the what's it called? The Washington, y'all, you know what I mean? The Washington football team or whatever, y'all, you know what I mean? And then whatever spaces or seats cleared up, y'all, you know what I mean? We made our way down to the shit. You know what I mean? And we watch that shit from the, what's it called, from the base level. You know what I mean? It don't matter. You know what I mean? It really don't matter. We spent $14 on the tickets in the nosebleed. All right. You know what I mean? And we made our way downtown. I mean,
What was a better environment? Hanging out at the Commanders Field football game or partying with your homies at the crib?
I mean, at the end of the day, I would never trade this shit for my mother. So, I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, yeah. I'd rather watch a football game with my mother. Yeah, at the end of the day. It don't matter to me. That's a memorable thing, a highlight for me for in my life. But at the end of the day, if you go down into the field or whatever, I mean, it depends on how you treat it. It really depends on how you treat it. I'm definitely not spending no hundo on a ticket just to sit on a forcely or whatever where you could just walk into that shit. And I think a lot of people just walk into that shit and just see it from that view.
Mr. Chairman of the Board. That's a terrible nickname.
It was great, man. It's great. It's gonna catch on. It's great. No, I mean, I wouldn't personally. I don't. If I had the money, like if I was in that position, like I work with a lot of people who are in that position where they could just write everything off. I wouldn't mind going. And I lived in L.A. and I don't particularly like going back to L.A. or living in L.A. And I don't think I would like it during Super Bowl weekend either, because that just seems like just a thought about that. Oh, my God, it gives me a headache. Like, L.A. traffic is already horrible. Now you're going to add Super Bowl traffic on top of that? Nah, don't sign me up for that at all. But to see the Super Bowl, especially if my team was playing and I didn't have to pay for it, like not directly, yeah, I would do that. But my freshman year at Grambling, one of my teachers was like, we're talking about the Bayou Classic, which obviously is a big deal. And he was like, no, I'm not. He said, I usually take the whole family down to New Orleans for the Bayou Classic. I'm not doing it this year. I'm going to save that money. I'm going to buy me a big-ass TV. I'm going to have people over. He said, this TV is going to last us a lot longer. And he's like, we'll see better. And I ain't got to spend that time in the car. And he's like, his kids and everything, they'll probably, next year, they'll probably go back down to the Bayou Classic. He said, but I still have my TV at that point. So I get it. A lot of people would rather, I mean, save that money and stay at the crib, but I mean, you only live once.
I'm extra.
You're right about that.
If I had the money to go, I would definitely go. If my team was playing, I wouldn't just go as a fan to say, "Hey, I'm going to go watch another team win the Super Bowl." I think I'm just a too much of a fan to be in the atmosphere, spending that much money to watch somebody else win the bowl. So I wouldn't do that part. But I absolutely, if the Niners was in, you know, trying to, you know, win that sixth ring, I would absolutely, if I had the money, and not even just having the money, but having the disposable income, because it's different than having the money and disposable income. If I had the disposable income, I would absolutely go. And that would be the only reason. Like, the Niners would have to be playing. That's just that baseline. So, I mean, my man who, you know what I mean, who, you know, does that, you know, ticket sale game, I mean, he would go and get tickets and resell them joints. And I mean, so I know it's possible to do that. And I know there's a lot of money to make down there. But he always told me that he had an awesome time, been to a bunch of them. And because, you know, for whatever reason, couldn't flip, you know, the tickets or whatever. But, yeah. So, I mean, based on what he's told me, I mean, in his situation going, because, again, he a Pittsburgh fan, but you got tickets, why not? You ain't sit on the motherfuckers. So if I was in that position, yeah, I would go. But other than that, though, I would go if it's a Niner. That would only be the reason why.
So I got a question, right? I got a question, right? So I feel like everybody has done this, right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, you pay for some tickets at a football game, no matter if it's a football game, baseball game, whatever it is, right? Y'all don't move down when they get close to, like, the end of the game or whatever. Y'all don't move down into the actual seats, you know what I mean, that's not taken. Yeah, I mean, you could pay for the tickets that's in the nosebleeds or whatever, but when the game gets down to, like, the third quarter, the fourth quarter or whatever, the baseball gets into, like, the last inning or whatever, y'all don't fill in the seats. When the game gets closer, and y'all move closer down to the seats?
Depends how
nice. Absolutely. I know.
It all depends how nice of a stadium you at. Blair, I'll let you go next. I'm going to let you know now. Some of these nicer places, they got security that wants to see your ticket every single time you walk through that corridor, brother. Go ahead, Blair.
I mean, I guess it was the old Eagle Stadium then. I don't know what year it was. I know Deion was in Dallas because they were playing the Cowboys. And me and my brothers – because it was me, my three brothers, I think my sister, and we watched the entire second half from, like, the first row, which ironically wasn't the best seat because everybody was in your way. Like, you could see the players were right there, like, the camera crew, they had the cameras on, like, the big cranes and everything. They would be going up and down the sideline. So a lot of the game, your view would be obstructed by stuff. So sitting up a little bit higher probably was better, but we was right there. My cousin caught a punt. It bounced and went in the stands. He caught it. As you know, the officials and everybody came over, the security, like, we need the ball back. We tried to hide it. Like, so it was a great experience. But, yeah, I know I did that there. And I did it once out here in St. Louis for a Cardinals game. I ain't never ran into no problems, though.
Yeah, don't nobody care about baseball. I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, I guess because lately we've had good seats. Wait, I'm trying to think, could we have moved closer during the NFL game when we went to go see the Eagles? But I guess we were already in the lower level. I guess you could move. I guess we were already in the lower level, so we could have moved down, but we wouldn't have had to go out the section. But, like, walking into our section, you know, they wasn't letting nobody in unless you had that ticket. So I guess it just depends. But, yeah, if I had the opportunity, I'd still move down. I've done it before. You know. You just don't want to get hit with that tap. Where was I at? I was at one of these. I think I was at like a Norfolk game or somewhere where we had creeped down, and somebody was like, "Was it an ODU?"
CIAA.
Oh, we was at CIAA, man. You know, black people always come late, man. So me and DJ C. Siren, we were front row the whole week watching these tournaments. Yeah, I was in heaven. And it was some great ball, man. And then, of course, like the championship game, we go find our front row seats that we've been in all week. Old-ass black lady like, yo, this is our seats. Me and DJ C-Sign had to go back up to the nosebleeds.
First time, we're like, oh, this is hot.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yo, that's right.
Man, is it worth getting tickets to the game? Yeah, I loved it, man. When I lived in Charlotte, we went every year, man. It was great. I loved CIAA. I might even I might try to come up for a game. I still got a couple folks that coach in CIAA. So I might come up. So if I come up, I'll see if I can get us tickets.
All right, man. Let me know.
All right. But, I mean, I guess that's good NFL talk. Do y'all want to talk about Flores now or y'all want to wait?
Might as well go right into it, brother.
Go right into it.
So Flores, Miami head coach, was on his way to the New York Giants to have an interview to be their head coach. And he got a text from Bill Belichick. I said, congrats, I heard you got the job. He said, oh, thanks, coach. Then he responded with, hey, did you mean to text me or the other Brian? And Bill Belichick said, oh, I fucked up. And that's when he knew that his interview that he was having with the New York Giants meant nothing because they were hiring a white dude, which happens. You know, it happens. Like, you know. Like, the funny thing about this situation is, like, I've seen it happen on a lower level of my job. They'll ask me, because I'm black, because you have to have a diverse panel, they'll ask me to come on a panel to interview somebody when I already know that they're hiring somebody else, and I've asked them to stop doing it because you're wasting my time. If you already know who you're hiring, they're like, well, we have to do these interviews. I'm like, well, that's your problem. They want you to interview people for a reason. And if you're not going to do it because you already know who you're hiring, don't ask me to waste 5 hours of my life. Well, this man took a whole new level and is now suing the NFL. Flores is suing the NFL for discrimination, racism, and damn, I forgot the other point. And it's a class action lawsuit, so people can join in. You know, they got to become a class. I'm interested to see what discovery comes off. Because if you can prove that Belichick knew that the other Brian had the job when he texted Brian Flores, then one, Bill Belichick playing for New England and knowing the Giants business is just terrible. We know people talk. But you might have a case. But if Bill Belichick is just texting Brian Flores, and he thought that, oh, he already had the job, and it was just bad timing, then I don't know how much this really goes anywhere. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. Now I'm going to go to let me go to Blair first. You work in a lawyer office. What do you think about the Flores case?
He'll probably discredit a lot of shit everybody else said.
You're not Blur.
I know, but I'm just.
I was just.
No, go ahead, Max. Go ahead. Your opinion.
Hear all the nonsense that we say, and then you're going to be like, that's not how it works at all, right? I mean, you going first, we just be like, we won't have no nonsense. We'd be like, I guess Blur's right. He works in the law office. Just saying. But go ahead, you got it.
Nah, my point of view on it ain't even like from the legal procedure, because we're so early into the legal procedure part of it. So my point of view on it isn't even from the legal standpoint per se. That said, I think on the face of it, I think the lawsuit, the legal action, is without merit. Now, again, a lot of things can come out in discovery if they're allowed to get that far. Like something like with the thing that got the coach in Oakland and Las Vegas fired. Like,
John,
that all came out of the lawsuit in Washington that had nothing to do with that, but that just came out in discovery. It was like, oh, shit, we was looking for something else, and we found this. So that could absolutely happen here. They could find some other stuff, again, if they get that far. But just on the facts of the hiring process, Gun, you left out a few, I think, are important lines in the text conversation. Because when Belichick texted him, he was like, congratulations. And he was like, for what? And he's like, hey, I heard the job is yours if you want it. So that means the job may not have been offered. It hasn't been accepted. And he was like, oh, I haven't interviewed yet. And he was like, coach, who do you think? He didn't ask him, which are you talking to? He said, who do you think you're talking to? And Belichick like, oh, I fucked this up. Which, I mean, we've all texted the wrong person before. I've done it a few times. And like, oh, my bad, I fucked up. I didn't mean to text you. So I don't think there's anything illegal in them telling Bill Belichick, hey, we've already interviewed with such and such. We like him. He's our top candidate. We think we're going to go with him if we can get him. I don't think there's anything illegal in that. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a number one contender while still going through the interview process. If that is the only evidence they have that, hey, they already had their heart set on somebody while still going through the interview, I don't think this case goes very far.
Hey, Mercer? Yeah, see, exactly what happened. What's going to happen actually happened. He then moved me off of all my little racist type of, like, thing that I was ready to say because, to me, he's absolutely right. Like, Belichick ain't snitching on nothing. He fucked up. The text message came out. Yeah, that's part of that. But Belichick can be like, yo, like, you know what I mean? We had a friendly conversation. And I don't even think he's going to get that. I think Belichick's not even going to come to any kind of – I mean, they're going to have to subpoena him, which then he can plead the fifth. And he's famous for doing that in his own press interviews after games and shit. Like, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. So I think that that's not going – he's not going to dig himself in a further hole by exposing who his source was, who talked to him, who told him that, because that hasn't came out. So no one really knows how Belichick knew. And Belichick isn't an idiot, and so he's not going to dime that person out. So I agree with what Blur said. It's kind of like we don't know exactly what's going on. And to me, it's a shame because we know that this shit happens all the time, but it's kind of like what motherfucking Denzel said to Training Day. Yo, it's not what you know. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. Not what you know, it's what you can prove. And I don't think he's going to be able to prove much at all because the Rooney Rule is vague as fuck. And all it says is that we gotta listen to one of y'all motherfuckers. We don't say we got to make a determination. We can make a determination. We just know that we have to, per the Rooney Rule, interview someone of color. That's it. Vague as hell. So to me, I think that's a shame. I think strengthening the Rooney Rule would be the bigger play. I think it's so teams can't just do this semantically and actually be able to have real interviews for qualified candidates, which, again, I don't know how you make a business or owner do that per se. So really I just think this is much to do about nothing, especially after hearing what Blur just said. And at first I thought, like, shit, we ready to release this statement talking about we condone NFL practices and all this other kind of shit, but we don't even know if that's the case. I mean, you know what I mean? I think it's just inherent racism. I think it's kind of like, yo, like, if I want an accountant, I'm going to look for a black accountant before I look for a white one. Don't mean that there's not a white accountant out there, but I'm going to look for a black one, right? Just because I'm going to support black businesses. So if I'm going to look for a soul food spot, it might be an Arab soul food spot, it might be a black one. I'm going to look for the black one first. Like, I mean, so is that of me being racist or is that just me having a preference? And so I don't know how you prove. I just don't know how you say I'm racist because I have a preference. I don't know. And again, especially if I'm going to try all of them. If I try all of them, I'm like, I prefer that one. It reminds me of my mom's cooking. So I'm going to go there, right? So I don't know how you really prove what these teams' ulterior motive is. Although we just know that is what it is, right? Because it's a damn shame that we only have one black head coach with a league that's 65 to 70% black. And honestly, the only way that I think that this shit changes is that that 70% stand up and make a change. If 70% of the black people, and we have to stand in solidarity, so it can't be no fucking Antonio Brown's talking about, I want my money, so come sign me and shit. So it got to be a stand, a unity stand, saying, look, we all holding out unless this shit changes. Because one thing those white owners know is that their money makers, besides a very few, come from the black population. And that's the only way that that shit's going to happen.
Okay.
And we ain't
going
to do
York.
That. So it ain't going to happen.
My bad. I thought you was done.
Nah, my final point was we ain't going to do that. But all I'm saying is players not going to do that because they want their money. And then there's a whole other crop of players that will just say, you know what, shit, if they ain't going to do that shit, hire me as a replacement, right? So we just ain't going to do that. So at the end of the day, it ain't enough. It's much to do about nothing at the point when we're fighting against the NFL. Just like we couldn't boycott the NFL over this Black Lives Matter shit. Black people still look at them, but we're just not going to do it. We don't stand in unity for that type of shit. It's a shame, but it ain't going to happen. Much to do about nothing.
New York, New York.
I just got a question about the preference thing. That's the only thing.
What you mean?
Can you as far as MXR was saying, can you explain that as far as the preference thing? Can you explain that further?
Yeah. So it's like this. I'm an owner, right? If I've been following the coach, maybe a coach was my quarterback coach. He was white. He's quarterback coach. Went on to be another coordinator at another organization. I know him. He's my preference, right? Underneath the Rooney Rule, it says that I have to hire or I have to at least interview a black or minority candidate. So while I may have my preference to go want this guy, right, the rule is saying I have to go interview this, similar to what Beach Bum was saying. So I have to bring somebody in. I gotta find someone willing to take my interview before I can hire who I want. Right? And so that just, again, as Beach Bum stated, it's a waste of goddamn time, right? It's a waste of Flores' time to go meet with the Giants when the Giants had already made up their mind who they wanted. It's the semantics, right? So if that Rooney Rule was in place, Flores would never have been going to New York. They would have just hired who they wanted right on the spot.
So is the Rooney Rule bad?
I think that
no.
it's teeth. I just think it doesn't have teeth because, again, this type of things, and this ain't the first year it happened. This is just the first year that he got a text message from another coach saying that it happened. But because he never heard of that before. But every person says that. Yo, they bring in these players just for semantics. Don't daggone well, they want this person. I mean, that's just been happening forever. I mean, we have too many black coordinators that for on successful teams going to the Super Bowl, winning it, for them not to be head coaches. Great. It's
all right. Blur.
No, I'm going to say no, it's not a bad thing. I think it's, I guess not having any teeth is a good way of saying it. I think it's built under the wrong premise, I guess, because, yeah, not having any teeth, there's no punishment. The Rooney Rule was just actually modified a couple of years ago, because it wasn't being as effective as they wanted. I mean, Mike Tomlin, they've already mentioned, the only black head coach, got his job because of the Rooney Rule. Pittsburgh had somebody else in mind. They interviewed Mike Tomlin to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and he blew them away, and they were like, no, we got to go with him. So it does work when the people are willing to do the right thing. The Rooney Rule is assuming that these owners and GMs and the people who are making the decisions are going to do the right thing when they get a qualified black person in front of them. But that's a heavy assumption because clearly they're not. And then you got people who are not even willing to,
heavy
to
assumption.
Honor the Rooney Rule,
heavy
the essence of it, and bringing in qualified people because you have whoever is in Philly who interviews Deuce Staley every year just to satisfy the Rooney Rule. So, like, Brian Flores is a qualified coach, so I can understand why, yeah, we brought somebody in qualified. He had his opportunity to blow us away, or he has an opportunity to blow us away and change our mind. Well, you got other people who are like, yo, Deuce Staley, he's a Philly legend. He's part of the staff. We're going to use him. And I'm just using Deuce to other people. We're going to use Deuce Staley. We're going to say, hey, he met with us for 20 minutes. that satisfies the Rooney Rule. We interviewed a black person who have no interest of actually even giving a black person a chance. I'm not applauding Buffalo and New York for bringing in a qualified black person, but I do think they're at least trying to abide by, honor the Rooney Rule. Because, I mean, they're giving away draft picks now. Like, hey, if you do it, if you hire one, you get an extra third round or extra second round. So, like, they're trying to make it better, trying to give it some teeth. But right now, still just relying on these people doing the right thing.
Now, you would think that an extra third round pick would be enticing enough just to hire a black person just because. But these white people don't want these black people heading their organizations. It just is what it is. My only concern, and I get it, like, if I ran a corporation, I don't want nobody telling me who I should hire. But then when you dig into what NFL ownership is, like, a lot of that money is city-backed. They're really just tax shelters for, you know, these owners' other corporations. You know, and it's kind of frustrating because, you know, they have these guys who they want, who they have these, you know, these guys in their mind who they want to run these organizations, and it's not because of anything they've done coaching. It's just who they feel comfortable with. Part of me says, hey, that's your right. It's your team. You should be able to hire who you feel comfortable with. But I don't know, but like when MX was saying that, like if he had, like if he wanted to hire an accountant because he wanted to support black businesses, is it wrong? Is it racist? You know, there's millions and millions of accountants. Anyone can become an accountant. Not anyone can own an NFL team. You know, it's a monopoly. It's one of those, it's like its own organization. It's its own billion-dollar tax shelter. You know, so if you wanted to support a black accountant, you could, because anybody can be an accountant. If all you got to do is go to school, get a degree, you can become an accountant. It don't matter what you can do. It don't matter what you do. You could be Jeff Bezos and not have an NFL team. And these teams are getting tax money, so should they be forced to comply to certain decisions? It's kind of tough, man. I hope the discovery brings out a lot of stuff. I say fuck them all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we ain't going to get past these old white owners only hiring people that look like them until they start dying. Like, you're not going to be able to force these guys to do anything they don't want to do just because, you know, they're rich. When was the last time you could force a rich person to really, really do something? Like, even Donald Sterling's wife still got Clippers tickets.
Yeah, but
they just need a better lawyer to argue and to force their hand. But I will say that is the point of the Rooney Rule, to get black people in the room with these rich white owners. Because they understood it. It's like, hey, even if it's not racist or if it's not apparent racist, maybe it's subconscious, because you do go with what you know. You go with, hey, I talk to this guy about football every week, every day, and we talk about him. And this same person, we're part of the same lodge. We're part of the same alumni group. We both went to University of Texas. We both pledged this, and now he's coaching at University of Texas. Hey, I think I'm going to hire this coach. And you're not even looking at anyone outside of your circle. The Rooney Rule was put in place and said, hey, let me put some more people in your circle, even if it's just for one interview. These people will get practice interviewing, and you'll get to meet some more people. And be like, yo, you know what? I never even considered it. I never looked at him like this. I never looked at football the way he's showing it to me. I'm going to hire this black guy. So it really is trying to just get more black people in the room, in the circle, with these rich white people. And, again, you got to hope that they do the right thing. But, I mean, it worked out for Mike Tomlin. We just got to need more people like the Rooneys.
I would just say that, you know, just based off of what you were saying, Beach Bum, is that I say fuck them all too, but at the same time, it's also one of those things where, yeah, they die and then they leave it to their daughter who don't know shit. She fucking could have been a business major. Now all of a sudden she's running the NFL team. Or she could just be a business major now running the Laker organization like Jeannie. But, like, I mean, because of what her dad did, right? Like, she didn't know shit about fucking basketball, but she was around it, right? So she's just, like, in it because of who gets, you know, who they're inherited by, right? And depends, it's incumbent upon that owner to bring their family, and they ain't looking on the outside to be like, oh, let me bring this outsider in to try to, just in case I die one day. It's typically a family member, right? Even with the Nino organization, with the DeBarlo family. Like, I mean, they bring in their younger people, their sons, their daughters, you know, whoever, the wives, whatever, right, to run these organizations. So there's rarely when a time when there's an NFL team up for sale, right? Typically, it just gets passed down the damn line because there's a succession in plan. So it never really, you know what I mean, gets outside of that family regardless of what background they have. Accounting, they can fucking have failed out of college, not even been to college and shit, like Paris Hilton. All of a sudden now she's in charge of the damn Hilton, like, you know what I mean? So, or at least the estate or part of the estate. So all I'm saying is that, to me, because we haven't seen a whole lot of NFL teams like be sold or get part ownership like Jordan was able to do in Charlotte, like, I just don't know how we get past. And I get what you're saying, Blur, in terms of, hey, giving you an opportunity. But at the end of the day, how many of those opportunities are going to an offensive and defensive coordinator that are majority of African-American or minority and not white, right? But you'll take a quarterback's coach and make them a head coach before you'll take an elite coordinator and make them the head coach. There's too many examples of that for me to say just because I put you in the room, that's good enough. And that's what I mean by teeth. It has to be some kind of consequence, some kind of uproar, some kind of like, listen, we ain't playing for this organization, for that organization to be like, shit, it's money on me. Maybe I need to get the players what they want, right? It's kind of like that. Like, I think the players need to revolt. We can talk all we want, but as long as the players are out there making that owner money, they ain't listening to no damn fans. They not. Because guess what? The fans are still going to be there. We tried that already. The fans aren't going to make or break any owner's decision. They're not. This is not going to happen. But I guarantee you, if the players start saying we ain't playing, you know what I mean? Maybe they'll find some white counterparts to be out here and be like, y'all going to do that? They're going to find the next Cooper Cups out there, motherfuckers out here balling, breaking records. I don't know. Maybe. But I don't know. It just kind of have to be a collective thing, teeth or something behind it. I don't even know. Draft picks, I think that's what you were saying, Beach Bum, like third-round pick or something, some kind of like supplementary pick for you doing something. It got to be some kind of incentive base because I think owners speak to that. Maybe it's a salary cap, right? Oh, you don't have enough minorities on your staff? Salary cap is lower. Oh, you got a minority people on your staff? Increase for you at the team. Then it's going to be like, oh, shit, well, maybe we need to get more motherfucking people of minority status in, not just on the staff, but in our upfront coaching, like leadership, head coach, D coordinators, offense coordinators, then to make that make sense to an owner, right? Because now you're hitting them where it hurts in their pocket. And money is the only thing, to me, that I think they listen to, right? Other than that, like, I don't think they're going to listen to any other thing that you guys say.
I think you're right. You might be on something, especially with the salary cap idea. The only thing I would say is that you know exactly what's going to come after that. The same thing they've been saying about, like, affirmative action. Hey, it's reverse racism. So now you're incentivizing teams to not hire white men or not hire white people. I mean, and I say, fuck it, I'm with it. I'm with that. Okay, let it be. But, I would prefer not to have the players, like, sit out or strike just because, and I know people point this out a lot, like, yo, that the NFL is turning a lot of black people into millionaires that they could do a lot of stuff with. A lot of young black men become millionaires from making it to the league. 3 years and you set for life. That's when your, like, health benefits and everything come in. So, I mean, I'm all for people, like, getting their money and, like, not jeopardizing that because you ain't guaranteed to get it for a long time. So I prefer if it was something league-wise and fan-wise and was forced in the hand of the owners, but
I hate the term reverse racism, right? Because it's not reverse racism. I think it's this shit that we're old. We're old at this point. This is stuff that we're old. We're literally trying to fit in to the actual society of things is going on. And we are actually excluded from this shit. It's not reverse racism. It's not reverse racism. I think this is the shit that we're old from everything that's happened in this country. It's not reverse racism. I don't think it as reverse racism. I think this is just the stuff that we're old.
What'd you say?
Because at the end of the day, it's just like, no, we've been excluded from everything within this country. It's not reverse racism. I think that's what the white people try to tell us. It's not reverse racism. It's the stuff that we are owed as individuals, and just being treated as an actual human being in this country. It's not reverse racism. It's just actually the stuff that we are owed. All the stuff that we've been excluded from in this country. It's not reverse racism.
I love when they say reverse racism. That's right. 1 year down, 399 to go.
Feel right, exactly.
Racism. I want you to know how does it feel. I don't even know. How did that song go? There you go.
But, I thought love was in the air. Y'all out here taking lover's strolls around tracks and shit. You can't even give me one love song. Yo, come on, man. Y'all need you to do better than that.
What do you mean one love song? I just gave you the love song. I just wasn't on beat. I'm not a huge D'Angelo fan. I can't understand him.
But that's not enough. That's not enough. That's really not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. We asking for equality, and these people acting like, okay, oh, it's reverse racism. Well, we going to take over the country. No, we just asking to be treated equal. Nah.
Yeah, when they took over the White House, I wanted all their asses to get beat. Because I knew that's what would have happened to us. I wasn't asking for nothing different. I wasn't asking y'all to get y'all ass beat because y'all was white. I was asking y'all to get y'all ass beat because that's the type of shit I would want to do. But I couldn't do because I might die. I want y'all to feel that pain too. But, you know, I think the Flores case, I think it could go one or two ways. It's just like anything else. It can die out. Hopefully it doesn't settle, but it could die out with, you know, not really anybody mentioning anything and not really coming in discovery because it was just a mistimed message. Or we could say a whole lot of people that say, fuck it, yo, here you go. This is why I feel like the NFL is racist. Here go all the fucked up text messages I got, the fucked up emails I got, you know, and it could be a shit show. I will
well,
say,
you know,
though, I'll let you get in real quick, I'm not sure, but I think you're wrong with the Bill Belichick take, simply because Bill Belichick's father was in the military, his grandfather was in the military. Bill Belichick is one of those people who like, he's got that, like, you know how, you know, people got that overly love for the American military, who, you know, people who wish they were a part of it, but they weren't, but they loved the military. Like, they're the types who salute people in uniform every time they see them. And I ain't knocking the military. Don't come for me. I got a lot of family and friends in the military. But I look at it as just a job you pick. Because I wasn't around during the draft. This doesn't apply to anybody who got drafted, because that's a whole different conversation. But anybody else is just a job to me. It's a job you chose. Thank you for your service. But Bill Belichick is so hung up on the military. I think if you say the words, hey, you are now under oath, I think Bill Belichick sings. Because I think he just feels Like, you tell me you put me under oath, I'm going to laugh in your face. Like, come on now. You put my hand on the Bible. You know how many things, you know how many commandments I done broke growing up. But I think Bill Belichick, you put his hand on the Bible and say, now you're under oath, I think he has the compelling feeling to tell the truth at all times. Even if it means dining his friends out. So I disagree with you on that, MX. And I hope we get to see it. Like, I hope he gets deposed and he gets put under oath, and we're going to see if we're going to get that reporter, Bill Belichick, or if we're going to get that I love America, I cannot tell a lie, George Washington, Bill Belichick.
You know, you actually bring it to another point, another interesting point. I thought of this, like, when did we become okay with people snitching? There's a lot of snitching going on with all of this. And it all started with Brian Flores leaking text messages between him and Bill Belichick. Like, when did that become okay? Like, I know it was in the name of, you know, social justice and racial justice, but, like, we couldn't get that without snitching? We gotta leak text messages to get that? Like, I'm not going to front. I'm a little lost on the whole connection between your love and respect for the military equating to your love and respect for the justice system. I don't think those two go hand in hand. I don't know Bill Belichick. Maybe they do, but everybody is snitching. Hey, I got paid to take. That's how I really believe that this lawsuit don't really have as much teeth, as much merit, because they're already roping in other stuff. Like, hey, not only did they give us a sham interview and they already hired somebody else, but I was paid to tank games. That has nothing to do on its face with the Giants and the Bills not giving you a fair interview, saying that Miami paid me to tank games.
No, just to interject real quick, they said they put that in the lawsuits because they were painting because the NFL, it's a class action lawsuit against the entire NFL, and they were saying that they were painting Brian Flores as the angry black man and saying that he was difficult when he was offered just because he would not
didn't want to play ball and don't want to tank games. That sounds like somebody who's difficult to work with. If I'm telling you, hey, our goal as an organization is to lose these games so we can get the number one draft, and you saying no, I'm calling you difficult because you don't want to go with the program.
I don't know about that one. That's a little stretch. I don't know if you call somebody difficult. If you hiring somebody
But Blair has a point, though, because at the end of the day, if you facing trial or whatever, you know what I mean, if you a person of color and you being tried for some shit like that, you know, they're always going to point you as a person of color that's angry like that. That's really all they go to. So I mean, if you act up on a stand like that, and you actually portray that you are an angry black man or an angry black woman on that stand, and then they already painted that narrative for you.
You got that gas.
They're gonna win that.
You smoking that
what
gas
happened?
Tonight, ain't you? You smoking that gas tonight in New York?
No, but it's serious though. It's serious though because at the end of the day, no, but really, they always.
I just want you to answer my question.
If you, I mean, a little bit, yeah. But at the end of the day, that's the first narrative that they're gonna go to. So I mean. You always got to keep a calm, level-headed when you go on a trial for that shit because that's the first narrative that they're going to actually paint of you. So, I mean, you got to be smart about that shit, but yeah.
For all gas, no brakes. I love it, bro. Keep it up, man. I wish I could cheers you on the gas. I could just tell. I love the energy. I could just tell. That's all.
So, you don't think that you don't think that, like, a president or owner of a team or a GM would say that Brian Flores was difficult to work with if they had, like, a plan or a goal for the organization and he didn't want to go along with it?
Are you talking to me or New York? I'm assuming you're talking to me. If the plan was
– Yeah, I was asking you because you said you didn't agree. I was wondering if that's, like – that because I feel like that's difficult to work with.
It depends. In an NFL setting, unless, and I was having this conversation with M Extra and Hove and all of them earlier, unless the conversation was, yo, we're trying to get the number one pick, I want you to lose all these games, but because I hired you for a 3-year deal, I'll give you an extra year and won't count this against you. Unless, like, because just offer me $100,000 when you're probably paying me $5 million a year isn't enough for me to make my own record look bad. Now, if you give me an extra year, like if you say, yo, I'm going to extend your contract out a year, we're not going to count this against you, but I need you to manage this so that we can get the number one draft pick, I would do it because I would understand the big picture. But if you're telling me you signed me for a 3-year deal, in one of my years you want me to lose every single game and I don't have any guarantee that this year won't be counting against me, then no, I'm not losing it because now it looks bad on me as a coach. It looks like, oh, I
was. Yeah, so it sounds like negotiations.
What'd you say?
It sounds like negotiations need to be had. Like, if you offered me $100,000 per game, and I'm like, nah, I don't want $100,000 per game. I need to know that this year isn't going to count on my contract. I need the next 2-year extension. And, like, don't just offer, like, say no. Like, nah, I'm not with that. You're going to have to find somebody else, or just, nah, I'm not with that. I mean, okay, we got to negotiate now.
But that's me, though. I mean, even talking to M Extra and Hove earlier, like, their competitive streak won't even allow them to do that. And I can understand that because if you're in the business of coaching people to play a sport, we've all played, you know, we've all played athletics. We know how competitive we all get. We've all gotten arguments and almost fights over just dumb stuff like street basketball, and none of us are basketball players. I can see a coach saying at the highest level in NFL, like, no, I'm not trying to lose every game, especially if I feel like my team has a chance of winning. I don't think that's
I mean, I can see a coach winning. Then I can see the president of an organization or a GM saying, yeah, I can't do it with this guy. He's too difficult to work with. Just like, I mean, it happens in every sport because, like, remember they were trying to sit in the Last Dance doc. They was trying to sit Mike – like the year before they got Scotty, because they wanted to make sure they had a great draft pick. And he was like, nah, he went in and took them to the playoffs. Like, fuck, I was trying to get you some help, but you couldn't lose one game? You couldn't tank one game so we could get us the number one draft pick and get you some help? Like, sometimes you got to see the bigger picture. And I can understand a player or a coach saying, nah, man, nah, I'm not with that. But I can also see the GM or the person who's looking at a bigger picture saying, yo, I can't win with this guy. I'm trying to build a 10-year organization that's going to have a shot at the playoffs and the Super Bowl over the next 10 to 15 years, and he worried about getting 9 wins instead of 8 wins this year.
I'll never accuse somebody of being difficult to work with if I hire them as a coach and they're trying to win games. I can't put that on anybody. I've played in way too many competitive games in my life. I just can't do it. But I could also understand why somebody would say, hey, yeah, I mean, we could talk about that deal and just give me an extra year on my contract. If you hire me for 3 years at $5 million per, give me an extra $5 million for another year. And we in business. Let's go get this number one draft pick and let me mold him.
And you know what's funny? Not to stay on this much longer, but I think he took it. And I know he's saying it didn't happen. He said no. But they were talking about it on Undisputed, like he wanted Fitzpatrick to stay in, and all of a sudden they switched to Tua. And they were like, yo, it came out that the team wasn't happy about that. Fitzpatrick gave them the best chance to win, but lo and behold, now we started Tua all of a sudden. And like, yo, it seems like this was part of the tank job.
But see, I thought that was the – I listened to a lot of Miami podcast. Well, I listen to one Miami sports podcast all the time on the Dan Levitar show. From what I understand is, and from what I remember them discussing, Flores wanted to keep Fitzpatrick as the starter, but the owner came down and said no start to him.
Yeah, part of the tank. I think that's part of the tank. And maybe he didn't take the money, but, hey, we gonna get this top 10 draft picks one way or another. Either you're going to do it or we're going to override you and say it's getting done.
All right, enough about football, yo. Rihanna pregnant. What we got, yo? Rihanna pregnant. Is this a good thing for black culture? ASAP Rocky got her pregnant. What'd you say?
Who the baby father?
ASAP Rocky.
Back for culture, yeah.
Oh man, well let me talk DJ C side, because she's one of the no you out. You don't want to talk about Rihanna being pregnant? You think this is good for the culture? You happy for Rihanna? Because women hate each other. So I want to know, like, are you jealous that you ain't get pregnant by A$AP Rocky? You know, he got in a fight in jail with semen on the ground. Like, he slipped on semen in the shower when he was in prison fighting. It's a story he told. And everybody was wondering, why is there semen on the shower floor? But, nah, for real, though. I don't understand why it's such a big deal. Because ain't Rihanna like almost 40? She's like our age, ain't she?
Yeah, she's young.
She's 33?
Yeah.
She's not that young.
Nah, that sounds about right. Because she came out when we was in college. Like, not might have been out of college when Pond the Replay came out. Yeah, that might have been like 03, 04. She was a teenager then.
Oh, Rihanna's been out since she was a teenager?
Yeah.
Queen! I'm sorry. This is your subject. I'll come back to you real quick, DJ. Sorry, while you get your thoughts. You ready to go to sleep. Queen, what you think about Rihanna being pregnant? You happy?
Yeah, I think it's time for her, you know. I feel like this is what she wanted, you know. Like, she's at the point in her career. She's successful. She has, like, $1 million makeup line, $1 million laundry line. Like, she's an artist. Like, why not go ahead and start a family? Just like Nicki Minaj felt the same way. Like, she's making money. Time for her to get pregnant. I think it's good for her. I just don't think she should. I'm surprised ASAP and Rocky, though. I would never have seen that coming.
That was my question, because that's all the hate that I'm seeing online. How you feel? I guess you said you surprised. I was like, how you feel about the man she chose to be with, A$AP Rocky, when she had the multi-billionaire Saudi prince or whatever right before him?
Yeah, like, she hasn't really done music in a while, so I was just like, her, I guess, the way she is as a businesswoman and stuff, and her image, I'm just surprised she went with someone like him. But maybe he's different behind the scenes. Who knows? I just thought it probably would have been Drake, the way they were connected and stuff.
I mean, we got to think A$AP Rocky's cooler than Drake, right? Like, we probably feel as though kind of would have got tired of Drake's wine.
Yo, that's actually a good question. I think men and women see that differently, because as a man, I'm not surprised you would choose A$AP over Drake, because Drake is a little feminine and a little whiny. Yeah, he's a little got too much light skin energy, and A$AP is the opposite of that. It sounds like Queen, and I don't know if DJ C. Siren is still the same way, that they feel like she would have been would have chose Drake over A$AP. I personally don't see it, but
DJ C. Siren, you think she should have chose Drake over A$AP?
I mean, not that we know anything about.
I mean, A$AP from Harlem. He got to be cool, right? He got to be cool, right? There's nobody from Harlem that's not at least cool.
That's weird.
I mean, all New York people are weird.
But no, I'm just saying, I mean, number one, he did something.
Shout out to New York.
I don't know. I'm not really that surprised. I don't think
Drake. You said New York people are weird?
Yeah, I love New York people. I don't mean that as a diss, but all New York people.
No, listen.
I'm from New York, so you're saying all New York people are weird.
First of all, don't listen to Queens, because she's from Queens. That's a borough. We don't even speak about Queens.
Queens is the best. There's
no,
a lot of people who are upcoming.
No,
you know, artists.
You got 50 that's only doing that shit from there.
What up, Doc?
You got Noriega. You got Noriega after that. I fuck with Noriega. And Nas. I fuck with Nas. I mean, but after that,
Nicki.
Who else you got?
What up, Doc?
Nicki. I mean, but Nikki, I mean, that's a female. That what? But after that, that's four people. That's four people. Who else you naming for Queens? When you talk about New York, first of all, when you talk about New York, do you mention Queens? You mentioned the Bronx. You mentioned Brooklyn.
No.
You mentioned. When you talk about New York, you mentioned Bronx, Brooklyn, and Harlem. You mentioned Harlem.
Queens
is an honorable mention. Queens is an honorable mention.
Because we're the best.
No. That's what I'm saying. Queensbridge. You mentioned Prodigy. You mentioned Havoc. All that shit. You mentioned Nas. You mentioned Noriega. You mentioned 50. Who else? Who else you mentioned from there?
You gonna get a buck 50.
Mary J. Blige is from Queens.
No, you not. So whenever the day and age right now, it's Brooklyn, Bronx, and Harlem. You're not missing no queens.
Hold on.
I feel like a Gatorade is going on.
Time out. How do we start talking about this, son? Yo, B.
Not Yonkers.
Who put Yonkers?
John the Don, battle rapper from Yonkers. But who else is coming out of Yonkers?
BMX Lock and Mary J. Blige.
No.
They just destroyed
Harlem. I understand what y'all saying right now. But we're talking about this present day and age. I understand that Lox come out of Yonkers. I understand. That's why I said New York.
New York. I heard that Staten Island freshest Tims of all of New York, yo.
Mm-hmm. No. You heard. But you heard about this CJ person that was the industry player. After Wu-Tang, who came out of Staten Island? Rapping?
We just talking about Tim's only, yo. Just Tim's.
Kim Cuddy's
only
Kardashian boyfriend.
Yeah, I tell you right now. Look, I tell you right now, M Extra Money. I tell you right now, M Extra Money. Yeah, you know what I mean, there's nobody coming out of Tim's the way I come out with Tim's. I got all the 40 belows. No, I'm not from Staten Island, but I got 40 belows for every color. Nobody is doing that right now.
You got the assistant freshman.
I don't have no assistant. I got the actual color from back then. The actual Tupac shit that the niggas wearing in the juice.
You know that Staten Island had the camo and the Tims rocking before a whole lot of bands.
But I'm telling you right now, Staten Island is an honorary mention. You don't even know about Staten Island. Staten Island is not racist out there.
Killing them back in the day. The camo and Tims came from Staten Island.
Okay, but you got your point, but I'm saying right now, Staten Island is mad racist. Staten Island is mad racist.
So
I go to Staten Island.
We talk about gear right now. So I'm talking about gear.
You
so
talking
you
about
tell
gear?
Me what? Yeah,
Staten
what
Island.
Girl, a trend setting with a trend setting outfit.
Beezus show. Jesus show.
So hold up. You talking? You can't tell me Staten Island has more style than Harlem back in the day. You can't tell me that.
They got a fair.
Harlem set the trend for everything.
There was no fatigue to Tim.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, that was all Wu Tang. That was all Wu Tang. Are you kidding me?
Nah, I can't co-sign that shit. I can't co-sign that shit. It just like even right now and right now in this today's history right now, Staten Island ain't no shit. Staten Island is the only place that you will go just to catch the ferry to the city. No, Staten Island ain't putting
Staten
for
Island
no one.
Staten Island with the Bronx's ass.
Nah, you can't do that. Harlem is putting on for the trends. You can't do that.
And this is why.
All I want to say is that Queens is the best. That's just all I want to say. Yeah, I just
want to look at her coming late to the conversation. Look at her coming late to the conversation. Nobody even talking about Queens because Queens is irrelevant. Queens is irrelevant.
See, this is why I say New York people are weird, because we were talking about A$AP Rocky and Rihanna, and I said
Harlem. Exactly. We talk about Harlem. We talk about Harlem. Exactly. Thank you. We talk about Harlem.
How are we weird, though? I just wanted to know the point of that talk. Like, how are we weird?
Because y'all just got
this time. Just one minute. Queen. They ain't got nothing about sport. They ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing but cheese block, the 40 block. They ain't got nothing. Southside Jamaica, Queens, that's all they got. Queensbridge and Southside Jamaica.
I got topic. Yo, what's good with the former U.S. Miss USA jumping off buildings in New York, B? What is going on?
Are we done with Rihanna and her being pregnant?
We are on a turn in New York. We can't go back there. We can never go back there because then we start talking
but
about
Blur. Blur had a question, though.
Yeah,
hey, I didn't
want to
leave the topic because Blur wanted to ask.
But do you know we just spent like 10, 15 minutes on fucking boroughs in New York, yo?
That was your fault.
You did that.
New York. Yeah, I know. That was your fault.
You did that.
You're right. I did. I did all that. All right. You're right.
So let Blur ask his question about Rihanna, and then we'll move on. We'll get it real.
No, I don't remember the question. I don't know if we got Queen and DJ Cesar's answer. I think we did about if they thought it would. But I do find it interesting because we talked about the cool dude versus the kind of weird dude. I think it's very similar to Kim talking about Staten Island, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. Like, she leaving Kanye West, who I think we can all agree can be described as weird, to Pete Davidson, who's just like a cooler dude, who's more down to earth, who's more real, I would think. I'm not surprised to see women going for that more so than the richer dude or the more eccentric, the weird dude. I mean, it seems like, especially from what I was seeing online, like they was lighting Rihanna up about that, about not taking the Saudi prince or whatever he was, and going with A$AP Rocky. I don't remember him being A$AP being misogynistic or whatever, but that's what they were saying. It seems like she's just going with the, I guess when you got money, you go for the more grounded, the dude who's giving you more regular stuff, the fun stuff.
Nah, fuck that. Yeah, you
I'm
ain't
sorry.
Asked a question.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, New York. Because I want to get this question, because Blur put this question in the chat.
Oh, yeah, damn, I forgot that
it.
Question. You're right. Let me ask it. I forgot.
No, I'm asking it. You had your moment. You fucked up.
I forgot.
Blur said Rihanna benefited from getting fucked up by Chris Brown. Do y'all agree? Do you agree? I don't know. We're going to come to Blur last. And let him explain
I can answer that question, but
Rihanna benefited from getting beat up by Chris Brown.
That's a horrible thing to say or to infer. That's ridiculous.
My bad, boy. He didn't really
ever
say that.
Rihanna fan, but you're
going to
like disregard any talent that the woman has and
said
that the only reason why she got notoriety or any kind
of. He didn't say that. He just wanted to know if there was any benefit.
I mean,
okay. You don't see another benefit. Okay.
In terms of why he would even say that. And my only thought was, I mean, not to go to the hospital, not to, you know, get your face fucked up, I guess it would be.
She became America's darling and could do no wrong, even though she was acting like a bitch towards Sierra.
I don't think she became a darling, because I still didn't think.
I thought everyone loved Rihanna. Her big, we told you, that's the C-section, right?
No. She's never been seen that way.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm not Rihanna.
I think there was sympathy and there was empathy for her you know,
well,
she
should
situation.
Be. Absolutely.
But I don't really, I don't think that she became.
You don't think she benefited? You don't think she benefited? Okay, Queen. Queen, you still
no,
out there?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I don't think she benefited from that.
Okay, not at all. Okay, I didn't know if he was punching New York in his face for his queen comments. I want to make sure y'all safe back there.
Yeah, he's a hater, but it's okay.
I say it right now, fuck queens on the air. You heard?
M extra money.
I hope Mike listening.
Any benefit Rihanna can have from the Chris Brown incident?
Hold on.
What's still?
Who's supposed to be listening, you know? She just said, I hope someone
exactly,
is
exactly. Who? Exactly. Who?
I'm
it's
sorry.
Like, what?
I figure out what the fuck's going on. Who's listening, you know? Somebody in the knoll over there, you know? The grassy knoll? What the fuck's going on, Queen? Where's somebody listening at?
Exactly. Nobody care about Queens. At the end of the day, Queens is a forgotten borough. At the end of the day, let's carry you on the conversation. Yep. Boom.
Okay.
New York, New York.
I guess back to the question. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how she would benefit. I guess if you're talking about just the publication, somebody feeling sorry for her because of that, I don't know if that's really true because she is talented in a way. So she kind of stood on her own to kind of still keep making records that people want to listen to. So I don't think she gained any, like, fame or more fame than she really already had. So, I mean, yeah, I would need to know a little bit more where that was going.
Blur's going to have to explain himself. We're going to let him go right after New York, New York, New York, New York. What you got?
So I would say this, right? Everything in life that you experience will make you stronger, right? So if the Chris Brown situation happened, you know what I mean, she moved on from it, you know what I mean, she was a larger individual. If she internalized that shit and put that into herself and put that into the universe, and you know what I mean, that's a part of her now. I mean, she's bigger than the situation now. Because, you know what I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what is she doing? She putting her energy, and she's not putting her energy into the music no more. She's putting the energy into investment. She's putting the energy to her own clothing line, her own makeup line, everything. So I can't say that the situation did not make her stronger. I mean, she learned from that situation, and even at that time, it was so broadcast to the national nation. I mean, she felt like that she had to be a role model for certain type of people. So, I mean, she internalized that shit. She did what she had to do. She did what she had to do, and she moved on from that situation in the public eye. And now she moved on. She moved on for a couple of relationships, and now that she's pregnant. She's bringing life into this world. I mean, that's what it is.
I have a feeling that's not what Blur's going with it, but I'm just going to wait for him.
Blur, explain yourself.
All right. So, I mean, I think I don't think y'all can see that after the incident, she had a dramatic bump. I'll call it a bump in popularity. And she was a little bit of that. It was, first it was sorrow, then it was popularity, people rooting for her. It was a little bit of a backslide when they were seen out together. And then from there, she kind of just skyrocketed. Was like, because she went on, like, she did a few interviews where she didn't talk about it. She was on The View and everything. And people, because she didn't talk about it, and I say this in contrast to Chris Brown, how his career took a nosedive after this, and her career skyrocketed after that moment. Now, was her career already on a high trajectory? Possibly. Possibly. There's really no way of knowing specifically if this affected her trajectory or not. I kind of, and maybe just a belief, believe that she got more notoriety and possibly even more fans after the incident. And it put her on a path to become a billionaire. There's a lot of songstresses and singers who have a couple, Umbrella, Ella, you know, Ponda Replay, who have a hit song who don't become billionaires.
who don't become worldwide superstars the way she has. Hey, maybe it's because she's with Jay-Z and Roc Nation. Maybe because she's more talented than, I don't know, Kelly Rowland or whoever. But something, I think, and you could definitely see it in album sales. Now, she's put out a lot of albums since then. So overall, like, of course, she's going to sell more afterward than before. But you can see a trajectory in her album sales and her notoriety after that. I think it has something to do with that incident and the way we perceive her after that incident. Now, I'm not saying somebody else will go through it, but if you were to tell me, hey, get beat up by Chris Brown, you end up being worth $2 billion, I'm like, yo, take your best shot, homeboy. I got you. That's all I'm saying. If somebody's going to tell you, hey, you get beat up by Chris Brown, you want a busted up face, but 10 years from now, you're going to be worth $2 billion. I know a lot of people might sign up.
But I don't think it's necessarily that she got beat up, right? I think it is just more of a sense of it was a high-profile case or whatever, right? Because at the end of the day, Rihanna and Chris Brown was young at that point, right? And then Rihanna became the spokesperson for a lot of people that's been going through domestic abuse. Do that situation, and then do her situation. She became the role model of it, because she was so young, and Chris Brown was so young. So that's what gained her popularity, and she already had popularity before that. But at the end of the day, when the shit became public, it was more of pressure on her of how she was going to handle that situation after Chris Brown did what he had to do. I mean, not did what he had to do, but did what was in that situation at that time or whatever, right? Because Rihanna and Chris Brown were the rising stars at that time, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's just, should be thankful. That's just terrible. Like, I don't think this has anything to do with her domestic violence situation, just because they ended up getting back together and she wasn't a billionaire then. I mean, I feel like whether they had this situation or not, if she still chose to find the people around her to get her into this Fenty deal to make one of the most popular cosmetic lines in the world, because we see that's where it goes. I mean, Kim Kardashian got a cosmetic line. Well, her daughter, one of them Kardashian Jenner people, got a Kardashian line that made them $1 billion. Like, it's, I don't think it had anything I don't think it had anything to do with Chris Brown hitting Rihanna. I think Rihanna just hit a lick on the cosmetics and made herself $1 billion. So she could have did that with or without getting hit. Oh, I wish she would have got done without getting hit, because that was pretty bad. You know, but, you know, they reconciled, so that's between them. I don't think her popularity pre Chris Brown incident or after Chris Brown incident really had any effect on her getting a billion-dollar cosmetic line.
There's billionaires who never got beat up. That's absolutely true. So that's not the, like, that doesn't mean she had to take the path to the billion and then have to go through that roadmap. That said, there are a lot of songstresses. There's a lot of female artists who are big artists who are not billionaires, who also didn't get beat up by Chris Brown. So if we could say that, hey, maybe she could have got a billion without it, there's a lot of people who ain't got a billion who ain't get beat up by Chris Brown. I'm just saying.
That's why you actually have to, like,
Is Ariana Grande a billionaire? Did Ariana Grande get a $1 billion makeup deal? I'm just saying, if she gets
beat up,
she gets one.
I'm glad you brought up that situation, because I thought.
Company.
Go ahead. He said there's a lot of songstresses out there that they get beat up by Chris Brown.
And if they did, they would all be billionaires.
I mean, we don't know. The only person who got beat up by Chris Brown is a billionaire. Is there a connection?
We know.
Chris Brown got billions.
We don't know. We know.
All right, before we get out of here tonight, let's just end. Before we get out of here, let's go to M. Extra's topic. M. Extra wanted to bring the mood down and talk about suicide. Go ahead, M. Extra.
Nah, change my judge. How much time
you got? Actually,
the only reason why I was talking about the suicide thing is because we were talking about New York, and that just came to mind. And I just don't know if I was choosing to go, I would jump 29 stories off. Like, where do you go from there but just dead? Like, and what are you thinking on your way down? Right? Like, what if you, like, midway think, like, maybe I do want to live? Like, you have no recourse, like, to do that. I don't know. And
see, I'm with MX. MX should put this in the chat. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
Like, what would y'all be able to do? Would you be able to do it? Like, would you be able to jump off 29 stories? Like, I don't think I would ever be able to.
No, but I don't think none of us are suicidal, but I don't want to speak for anybody. But MX, before you even go there, you put this in the chat. I did some reading on it, the whole Miss America. It's a crazy situation. I don't think she jumped, Joe. I've watched enough murder mysteries. I think she was pushed.
That may be true, too, because she was speaking out against all the shit that she supposed to, but she left a message. She left a note for her mom and shit. Like, I don't know.
I've seen that on murder mysteries, Joe. Can't believe the note. The note is the catalyst for them to not do paperwork. Like you said, if you want to kill yourself, why fall for 10 seconds, just off yourself real quick, drink some bleach, shoot yourself in the head, do something quick. Why jump out?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Overdose. Yeah. Take some heroin.
Do something, like something that you can't feel. That's great. But anyway, what other topic? What y'all think about Oprah? I mean, not Oprah, Whoopi. Whoopi getting suspended off The View. I felt like when
I'm glad you brought that up all
the time, right? Because I live in a Jewish neighborhood, and I don't think that if you want to talk about the plight of them, they get way more credit in this country than we do for slavery. I've been saying that shit for years. And I feel like we got to be apologetic for the shit that they've been through, but then they could turn around and use their privilege because of their skin tone and never have to address the shit that we've been through. And I would challenge that both of them been fucked up, but at least they got something out of it. And what I mean by something out of it means they got to leave because we came over and stayed there. So they got to leave that country to go to a better country where they had an opportunity to thrive, rebuild themselves and their culture without the reminder every day of the shit that they've been through. We never got that opportunity. No one came to save us, to take us to somewhere else where our culture and our people can survive in better terms than which we left, right? But it pains me every time someone talks about the plight of a Jew and try to even compare it in any way, they got to be apologetic about this shit. Like, nobody's apologetic about... We got somebody say critical race theory. Oh, shit, we passing laws about that shit. Oh, we can't have our children know and feel guilty about what happened of the sins of the past, right? That same old white man says that shit about America's ill wills, similar to the Holocaust, but then we'll go out and tell Whoopi Goldberg she got to fucking get suspended because you talking about somebody else's plight. Like, that shit's hypocritical as fuck. I had to get that off my chest. I'm done.
I got the Whoopi thing on the topic. It might be too deep for the last 5 minutes, but go ahead, DJ Cesar.
I was just going to say, since you spoke on it, like, personally, what she said, I mean, like I said, we're not Jewish, and I don't know, but, and I guess I'm on the outside looking in, but what she said didn't come off particularly anti-Semitic to me. Like,
It's the word that she used, race. She said that the Holocaust wasn't about race, but that's false by definition because it had everything to do with their religious background.
Their religion.
Let me
religion, not their race.
Let me just put it,
Let me just, no. Yeah, but race is part of religion. If you look up the word race, it deals with religion too. What she should have said was the Holocaust had nothing to do with skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one could argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But because she used the word race, race by definition involves religion.
Mm-hmm.
So she's factually wrong.
Right.
Just because she just used
right.
the word.
Okay, factually wrong is fine. I said, was it anti-Semitic? Mm-hmm. That was my question.
No.
Was it anti-Semitic?
No.
And that's what people are saying. Like, yeah, we can say she was incorrect in her statement, like, beach bone gun.
Which normal people
should
have
said. Like, it didn't really, that it didn't come off correctly because she didn't, yeah. She's trying to describe that there wasn't a difference between skin color and they were, you know, still persecuted each other and trying to basically say it was, you know, white skin was persecuting white skin just because, you know what I'm saying, just because they were of an inhumane act or inhumanity, right?
Everybody got to be quick. Well, we got like
anyway,
2 minutes.
So generally did it seem anti-Semitic, and I feel like that's just going a little too far to say that. We can say she was wrong. We can say she needs to apologize or that she was inaccurate, but was it really anti-Semitic?
Blur. I agree 100% with Whoopi. I mean, I don't, and maybe I guess it depends on where you're getting the definition from. The quick Google search said shared physical or social qualities into a group. So physical qualities may not be skin color, you're right, but I don't think that's religion. Now, it said that or, so yeah, maybe technically, but I don't know what she was suspended for, if she was suspended for specifically for saying something anti-Semitic or just saying something insensitive. I think that show, they go back and forth all the time. I think it's fucked up she got suspended. Whoopi Goldberg, the national icon as far as I'm concerned, and in my household, she was a superhero when I was growing up. So, yeah, I hope she stays on The View because I think they need her. I hope she stays on daytime TV because I think she's needed in that. But it's just fucked up she got suspended for saying something I've always agreed with, that Judaism, being Jewish, is not a race. It's a religion. You can choose to be Jewish. You cannot choose to be black. You just either are or you are not. Sammy Davis Jr. is Jewish. If he was in the Holocaust back then, he would not have been, maybe because he's black, but he would not have been taken because he was Jewish. The movie Jojo Rabbit, they asked the girl, hey, are you Jewish? She said, no. All right, cool. So it wasn't about other things. It was just strictly about your religion, if you were identified as being Jewish. So I have to agree with Whoopi wholeheartedly. I think it's fucked up. They suspended her.
Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish. Go ahead, New York, New York.
Oh, no, I'm listening to the conversation. I'm listening to the conversation.
Queen, you got anything?
No. No having, I think.
All right. Back to you, Maxra.
No, I agree, man. I agree with everything. Like, everything I said, like I said in the beginning, like, I just think that I don't even think she should apologize. Like, apologize for the error, if you want to interpret it that way. But don't apologize because of any insensitivity, because guess what? They don't fucking apologize to our ass. So why the fuck we always got to be apologetic about some shit? Like, I'm tired of being apologetic about some shit. We should be able to speak our truth just like everybody else speak their damn truth. And I don't hear nobody out here on when motherfucking Mitch McConnell says the black Americans vote just like other Americans. Did he fucking come out and apologize for that bullshit? Like, black people aren't Americans? Did anybody force him to do that shit? Hell no. But let him have said something about the Jewish Americans just treat like other Americans. I guarantee you he would have had to fucking come out and apologize. Like, it's so stupid. Like, it's such a dumb-ass thing. It's crazy.
I will say this. They have had people apologize for a number of different reasons. Like, I know Joy apologized. What's the chick, the lady who's the daughter of the dude who was running for president? I can't remember his name. They made her apologize a couple of times before she quit. Yeah, Meghan McCain. She's had to apologize on air a couple of times before she was just like, fuck it, I'm out. So they do make people apologize. I guess it's, you know what I mean? It's a TV show. They got to do what they got to do to, I mean, keep their sponsors. But I don't think Whoopi should apologize. I don't think she should have to.
I just want to know who are these all these angry Jewish people. Every Jewish person I know is cool. They shoot basketball and they drink Fanta. Who are these all these angry Jewish people? I've never met any. I guess because they're not rich.
Yeah, you speak bad about them, you'll see what.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of these days I'm sure they'll come for me. I can't wait to meet them. I would just love to know, like, hey, ain't y'all Team Jesus? Like, why are you so angry? I would love that in a conversation.
We share not Team Jesus.
I guess they killed Jesus, right?
No,
was
they're
Judas
just not.
A Jew?
They believe in the Old Testament. Or they think Jesus is a regular prophet like Moses and shit.
Judas was a Jew. Judah Jew? That would have been a dope nickname. I was going to get my son
the Old Testament. About the New Testament.
No, but you brought up a valid point. I agree. So did they actually kill Jesus, or he was a prophet?
No, a Jewish person killed Jesus.
No.
Jew on Jew crime.
Well, if he was actually killed, why did he rose back? He came back to life. So did they actually kill him or?
People the choice on who wants to be killed, so they said. So, and he just rolled it.
So, hey, before we get out of here, New York, New York. So, Jesus rose from the grave, right?
We already talked about this.
Can I ask New York, New York a question? Yo,
no,
so
but
where'd he go when he...
It's a question. We might have to take this off air, but,
just real quick, because we got 2 minutes. My question is, you believe Jesus rose from the grave, right? Where did he go after he left the grave?
I mean, at the end of the day, we all consciously.
No, where do you think he went? I want to know where you think he went.
He went into the universe. He went to the universe.
Okay, so why did he move the boulder?
The Romans had to see for themselves, right?
They didn't move
did
the
they?
Boulder. Nobody moved the boulder. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they did. The entrance, when they knew that Jesus had risen,
it was already open.
What?
It was already open.
All right, we'll have this. So when they put it, so they never closed the, they never closed it?
But then when he rose, the earth shook, the boulder moved. That's where he went to sit on the right-hand side of the Father. That's
the earth shook?
Yeah.
It's a hell of an earthquake. All right, let's get out of here, man. Good conversation. That's true. I love the religious conversations because I'm not that religious, but I believe.
How about we read before we get to reading?
When's the last time you read a book?
We don't read.
When's the last time you read a book?
Consciousness and energy can't die. It just goes back into the universe.
Yeah, all right, let's get out of here because it's going to cut off on us. DJ, she's sorry. You guys need to say to the people before we leave. Oh, Queen, you got anything to say to the people before we leave? Queen, you still awake?
No.
All right. Well, Queen.
Yeah, I'm
awake.
I hope you guys have a great weekend. Happy Black History Month. But continue to stay woke, celebrate all things black, support black businesses, and that's all.
Amen. And Queens is the best borough in New York. I love it. MX Ramon, you got anything to say to the people?
God bless. Have a good night.
All right, my man. Blur.
Get punched in the face by Chris Brown, become a $2 billionaire. I mean, sign me up. I'll take that. I feel like anybody would. We all know Jesus left the tomb. We all know what he did. He went to go see Mary Magdalene, man. You had to see what that mouth was hitting for one more time before you was up out of there. We all double back. We all spin the block one time for that. I mean, it is what it is. But Amazon got this show coming out called Reacher. It's got this dude on it. I forgot his name, but he started this TV show back in the day that nobody watched called Blue Mountain State.
If you get a chance, find
Blue Mountain State on Netflix or something. It's probably like 3 or 4 seasons. Hilarious. Give it a shot.
All right. DJ, she's siren. Hurry up.
No.
Oh, you was trying to hurry up, Blur. All right, New York, floor is yours. You got like 20 seconds because Blur took a bunch
of
time.
Look, Queens is not the best borough out in New York, but we got to recognize that shit. We got to recognize the shit of one of the five boroughs. Okay, we got that. Boom. But at the end of the day, stay safe. You know what I mean? Definitely use your hand sanitizer. Use your mask and all this other stuff. I mean,
5 seconds.
Other than that, I ain't got nothing. Yeah, I'm doing a hookah like a Dominican. Other than that, y'all be stay
it's
safe.
Over.
Y'all mean we hit you next week.
Show's over. It cut off on you. Everybody took too long. All right, folks, we'll get out of next week. The recording stopped. Let me unmute y'all. Can I still talk to y'all, or is the recording, like, totally off? Nope, it's off.